Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 2 in our teaching on the Book of Colossians titled, Increasing in the Knowledge of God. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
I hope everyone got your notes that I gave you this morning. If you're on your way in, you can pick those up at the back. And it'll be worksheets and some work papers of where we're moving to and what you'll be working with as we move on in of our understanding of the book of Colossians. So as everybody heads in this way, we will get started. We're running just a little behind schedule this morning, a little slower, but it's okay because God will catch us up. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for today. Thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that you've given us air to breathe. And Lord, I just ask and pray that you'll give us an attitude that will match your Holy Spirit. Give us an attitude that we want to be in union with you. Give us an attitude, oh God, of not complaining, but an attitude of just praise God, I'm here. Give us an attitude of our blessings. Lord, I pray that you'll change the vocabulary of us Christians to that of a thankful people. Because truly we are thankful. So Lord, just help us be aware of what we're thankful of. And so Lord Jesus, just bless us with your presence, with your spirit. It is our prayer, oh God, that this revival spirit would never cease on this spot on your planet until your return. Till your return. Till your return. And if you want to return, Lord Jesus, just any day, if you're waiting on us, you come on. We're ready. And Lord, we'll take your return in your spirit till you come in physical form. So Lord, help us to understand your return in your spirit that you sent in Acts 2. Help us to understand more that you are here with us. Help us, oh God, not try to fashion you into who we think you are, but help us to learn who you are. The awesome God that you are. It's obvious, Lord God, that we do not really know who you are because we're not scared enough. We're not happy enough. We're not full of life enough. Lord God, if we had a color, it'd be pastel. But Lord, I pray we'll be a bright orange, a bright red, that our colors of the Spirit would radiate from this planet, that it'd be blinding unto the lost. I need to quit. Amen. Amen. Wow, glory. I just seeing all kinds of stuff out here that God's going to. What am I teaching here? I tell you what, when you walk into an atmosphere of people that's been praying before you, you're in the danger zone to stand up here. The only thing I can tell you, you're in a danger zone. So this is not a, my goodness, that made me hot. That's not a good place to be if people prayed going before you. Because they're going to get you ready or not. Lord, get me ready. Amen. Colossians, don't forget your paperwork at the back. As we try to venture on, it's going to be good today, I can already tell.
Bring it on.
Don't need to. She's done here. Don't need to bring the more. I don't know if we can swallow all this one or not. All right, I give you a piece of paper there. You'll see it's Colossians at a glance. That'll be one of your worksheets that you've been given. If you didn't get a set of notes, just raise your hand or run back to the back table there. There should be four sheets of paper. If you do not have a workbook, you can also pick up a workbook. I think we still have some, do we not, workbooks? We still have some workbooks for those that need one. And each week I will be giving you more things to put into your workbook. This week I've given you some charts. This one chart is Colossians at a glance. And what I'd like for you to do is to fill that. It'll be kind of a homework sheet this week. You can fill in. We've already been over some of this. The notes that you've gotten last week will have your answer to a lot of these questions on this chart. Colossians at a glance. The reason we do that, I'm big on overview. By the time I get done with the overview, you should know the book. So I teach by overview. And so in this chart here, you can see Colossians at a glance. You'll have the author and you'll have the purpose and historical setting and things. And then I've got it divided in chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. You just write in there. There's not a wrong answer. It's just whatever you're picking up, what you're seeing. So you should be able to look at that one sheet, and all of a sudden you're looking at the book of Colossians. And there again, it's not about a tremendously correct answer. It's just a place for you to write down what you're seeing. And that is very, very important, because that's what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. So I'd like for you to fill that out. You'll have chapter themes there. The next sheet should be people in Colossians. Now, people in Colossians, you'll get to each chapter. I would like you to write down just the people that are mentioned in each chapter. And you can do that this week, and we'll go over that a little bit. The next sheet will be key words in Colossians by chapter. That is tremendously important. We've went over some of the key words. That doesn't mean that's all of the key words. A key word a lot of time is a repetitive word, but that doesn't mean that all key words are repetitive, because God only has to say something one time, and guess what? It is key. So you're looking for the key words that it's jumping out at you. Now, the reason we do it like this is because Paul says to study, show yourself a workman, you don't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're wanting to pick out, we're wanting to discover, and if you'll just put names, key words, if you'll just do this and write it down, you'll start rightly dividing this book. It'll start getting in you as we take it apart. The next one is warnings and instructions in Colossians. Anything that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in each chapter. Now, so this means you're going to be reading each chapter every week. So you maybe will even read the book of Colossians two or three times, and that's would be wonderful. I would have a particular reading each day. I think it's good to read the book of Colossians at least every day if you can. A lot of people don't budget for that, but it doesn't take long to read that book. And each day, if you'll take one chart, read the book of Colossians with one chart in mind, then by the end of the week, you have completed it. And as you've completed those charts, you're getting it down in you. Now, I'll help you with on the first sheet there, you'll have the theme. Well, the theme of the book of Colossians is Christ in you, is being complete in Christ. Now, believe it or not, as Christians, that's the greatest theme of the New Testament, and there's so many ways that is not fully received. We are complete in Christ. The Apostle Paul, as he was writing this book in chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, we can see that chapters 1 and 2, this is a reminder, is about doctrine. Chapter 3 and 4 was about duty in light of the doctrine. So Paul is speaking to these two topics. The first two chapters are about what you have in him. The next two chapters, 3 and 4, is what you do in him, what you're qualified to do, what you can do. I'm always in this dilemma of what the Scripture says that we have in him and what we do in him. I'm always at a quandary there of, all right, what we have in him and what we do in him. We have all this inheritance, and we pray for people, and we do all these things. And one of two things is happening. Either there's not too much happening when we pray, or there's a lot happening when we pray, but we haven't developed the eyes to see what's happening after we pray. So in one way, we're developing prayer. And then on the other hand, we're developing seeing the results of prayer. It just so happens a human mind, it says we pray, we see. But in God's economy, you might pray. God sets up the domino. He sets up the butterfly effect. He sets up this spiritual eclipse. It's this spiritual butterfly effect, all I know how to say. And all of a sudden, 3 or 4 or 5 years, then you have the result. Now, I don't know about you. I have a lot more to pray about than I've got time to wait to see if it's going to happen. We've got a lot more to pray about than we have to stop and take inventory all the time to see if God's really real and if he's really going to answer. There's way too much to pray about. So we have to get something settled in our minds. What we have to get settled is, are we going to cause God, are we going to ask of God to continually prove himself to us before we pray? Or are we going to pray because we believe God's taking care of the situation? Do we believe that we have activated something in the Spirit because we did pray? Yes. I submit to you, we need to do more activating and less time in being convinced God's God. Now, when you're trying to get God to convince you that he's God, that means you have an element of unbelief. So the problem's not God being God. The problem is an element of unbelief. So we need to settle our element of unbelief and decide who and what we're going to be faithful to so we can get on, we can get on, we can get on with releasing prayer. Excellent. Now, let's settle it this morning. God is God. God is real. God creates. God heals. The very fact you're sitting here is proof that God's God. The very fact that you're sitting here is proof that God is God. So there's this human dilemma of wanting God to constantly prove to us that he's God. You can say, Alan, what is that? That is the fallen nature of man. There's never been two people married. There's never been two friends. There's never been a person, a citizen of a country that hasn't continually demanded proof that you still love me, that you still like me, that you're still going to care for me. It's in human nature to constantly demand that each other prove themselves. Wow, that's a revelation. And we carry it into God. Well, I submit to you, we need to repent and say, God, I'm sorry that you've got to prove to little old me that you're God. I totally repent of that. You're God. You've said I can pray and help activate the universe with you. Never again, God, do you have to prove to me that you're answering my prayer. Never again. If I never see another miracle with these eyes, God, I know you're doing them. So I submit to you also that what we're needing to develop is the eyes in which we see the supernatural and the spiritual world with. We're trying to get the carnal eyes to prove to a spiritual man that something spiritual happened. The carnal eyes cannot discern that of the Spirit. So why do we let the carnal eyes demand that it see a miracle or demand that God proves to us that he's God? And I'm all for it. I mean, when God wants to prove something for us to see it, that's fine. But that's going to move way too slow. And I've said it before, if you see a plant, and I don't know if these are real or not, if these are not real, if you had a real plant or a tree and you put it in the ground or a corn plant, I can put a seed of corn in the ground, it can sprout and it can grow. Now, that's a miracle. You got all the science about it you want to, but you see if scientists can create one of them, make it do that. You can't. It's a miracle. But I can't see it grow. I can see it today, and I can come back in a week, and I can take a picture, and I say, yep, something's happened, because I see it before and after. Things of the Spirit, and I've said this before, but things of the Spirit has two speeds, slower than the naked eye and faster than the naked eye. Spiritual world's in these two speeds, slower than the naked eye and faster than the naked eye. Can you see anything at the speed of light? It's a miracle, but you can't see it. You know it, but you can't see it. You can know it in your mind, but you can't see it. Why then, if you will trust that, will we not trust God for something we can't see? Come on. But we know it's true. So our element of unbelief that God wants us to see is a before and an after. When I look at your life, look at my life, it's a before and it's an after. You can see how you were and how you are now. But I didn't see the growth. I just saw the difference. Why? Things of the supernatural move slower than the naked eye and faster than the naked eye. Anytime you see a miracle, you're still just going to see a before and an after. There have been a few times that God will actually slow the miracle down enough so you can see it in the natural world. I've heard people say, well, Alan, I've seen God, I've heard read stories of this, they've seen God make limbs grow. Don't doubt it at all. If he made the first one, I don't see what repairing one would be a problem. Right? But the only thing I can tell you, God can think it in a second, it's there. So if he slows down that creative miracle to a point that you can see it with your naked eye, it's because of your unbelief. I don't know if he can. Anytime God slows something down so the naked eye can see it, we're taking up precious time. That's the point. Why are we requiring God? If we walk in an element of faith that we've got to parade everybody up here to prove that our God's a miracle-working God, I'm all for that. And I'm all for it. Trust me, don't stop it. I am all for it. But we need to move faster than that. We need it along. I'm all for it. It encourages, it activates faith. But we're also needing to mature in faith. That God's people have got to settle the fact that God's God, and we've got to quit demanding that he prove himself to us so we'll keep walking in the faith. You're either going to walk in it or you're not. God can't prove himself enough. If he could, he wouldn't have to keep doing it. What's my point of all of this? My point is our faith in God needs to be settled. Needs to be settled. We need to be at peace with God. And one reason a lot of people aren't at peace with God, because they have yet to settle that answer. Are you born again? Yes. Do you have full peace? No. Because you got to settle that God's God, and it's in him that you put all your trust. The Apostle Paul, the book of Colossians, what he's speaking about is being complete in Christ. Being complete in Christ. Are we going to pray for the sick? Yes. Are we going to believe it? You better believe it. Are we going to get discouraged if we don't see it right then? Well, it ain't got nothing to do with nothing. Our job is to pray. Our job is to release. Our job, because it's settled in us, whether we see it or not, I believe in light, I believe in all this stuff that I can't see. Our job is that we have settled this question. God's God, God can do anything God wants to do, and I want to participate with him. And if God doesn't do something, it's not going to be because we didn't pray for it. If we do hold a key, we go and unlock every cotton-picking door we can find and throw it at you. We want to release it all. That God might be God. That we might be his people. People of God, settle the question. God is God. He's real. This is all real. Develop the spiritual hearing and the spiritual eyes of believing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. Not seen. That means, does it change the fact that it's real if you don't see it? No. So we're a people of faith. Faith has to, you see, the natural world follows faith. Natural world is time sensitive. Spiritual world is not. So we got to move fast in the spirit. The natural world, it'll catch up to the spirit. But if you're going to wait to see it all in the natural, you're slowing down in the spirit. It's like a caboose. It'll come. Just keep moving. We got a lot of territory to cover. God, we repent for, in our personal lives, requiring that you prove to us that you're God. We repent. It's unbelief. Yes. And Lord, it's my prayer that you'll give us full belief. Yes. That we'll settle today that you're God. Yes. That we're not. And you don't have to prove anything to us. But we sure would like for you to rub up against us and hug us. Sure would like for you to breathe on us. But we don't require it. If we never see you move again, God, we're still going to pray for the sick. We're still going to give the gospel message. Still want to feed the poor. Still want to help those that are brokenhearted. If never nothing else, it's like Noah built the ark. If nothing ever happens, we want to be found faithful.
That's right. We agree.
We want to be faithful. And if you want to smile on us, dear God, and throw a little something in, we're happy. We are so happy. But let us move in the Spirit. Yes. Completeness in Christ is my point. Yes. And boy, I can get off of it quick, can't I, this morning. I don't know what's going on. Complete in Christ. That is the issue. That is the point of your New Testament. That is the end result that you are complete in Christ. And when a people grasp and understands the completeness that's in Christ, then you will not put leaders on a pedestal. You'll not put other people on a pedestal. You will put nobody on a pedestal. At this church, there's no leader on a pedestal because we're all key servants. We're underneath God's people, not over God's people. And I just make submit to you today, never put a leader at this church on a pedestal so that we might do what we need to do. If you do that, it'll knock us all. It'll knock everybody off. Don't do it. There's not one on a pedestal around here. His name's Jesus. It's not one that we worship. His name's Jesus. Because if a leader or a few, or if anybody does anything good, it's because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Right.
And we all understand that. And as we worship Christ and we understand we're all moving in that, all of a sudden your criticism quits. Why? Because you're not lifting up a person. You'll say, boy, James, Jesus in you done pretty good. Right?
Go.
Or Jesus and Pastor. Boy, Pastor, Jesus sort of outdid himself today, didn't he? He kind of run all over you, didn't he? Run all through you. It's the unspiritual understanding that is Christ in us. Now, let me move quickly to show you why. I've got 20 minutes. What is Colossians about? Who wrote it? This will be, I want you to put in your observation worksheets. Paul wrote to the saints at Colossia when he heard of the Colossians' faith. Epaphras, how do you say that, Trevor? What's the proper pronunciation? Epaphras? That's all I know. Oh, Epap there. Had given the gospel at Colossia, and some had understood it and believed. Epaphras had then traveled to where Paul was and told him about the Colossians. So here you can see Epaphras started this church. He probably heard Paul in Ephesus, is kind of my guess. When he heard the gospel, he went back there, he preached, started this church. Paul was in prison, so he couldn't go to Colossia, so he had to write a letter. He wrote to the Colossians about Christ being all in all. He told them that they were complete in Christ. He also wrote to warn them of certain heresies which had potential to lead them astray. The reason was they started to forget that they were complete in Christ. So if you move from the point that you're complete in Christ, you have moved too far. When you move to the point that you're more spiritual than somebody else, you have moved too far. That's what Paul's point was. Such as vain philosophies, elementary principles of the world, traditions, legalism, and false mysticism. Now, Colossians chapter 2, it starts with increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, here's what happens. In verses 1 and 2, do you have your observation worksheets or your Bibles? Either one will be just fine. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2 here. If you want to turn your Bibles, or you can turn at the back of your workbooks. For those of you who do not have a workbook, we have a few more at the back. If you need a workbook, just feel free to jump up and go get one or get it on your way out. We have workbooks, and there's also some new sheets for this week's workbook. But in verses 1 and 2, as we look at the book of Colossians here, the letter begins with the introduction of Paul, Timothy, and the Colossians. So you can see that in verses 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossia, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see there that he's speaking in verse 2 to who? To the saints. Who is this book being written, or this letter written to? Well, you can put that on your sheets. It's being written to the saints. Now, he goes on to say there's a certain kind of saint. What kind are they? They're faithful saints. They're faithful brethren saints. So we can see here the saints, they're very faithful people. And then he goes on to say, grace unto you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. So if I looked upon you as a Christian, and I'd say, what are the two greatest things that God can give us? It would be grace and peace. That's it. Grace and peace. God's giving you the grace to get to the peace. Without the peace of God, we cease to function as Christians. Without the peace of God, you cease to function. Without the peace of God, you get into striving. It's the peace of God that the world's looking for. It's the peace of God. It is huge when Paul says, grace and peace, the two greatest spiritual elements on the planet. The grace of God and the peace of God. What happens when you get the peace of God? All of a sudden, you strive no more. You can say, well, this isn't going my way. Well, I'm going to trust God. And how do you know you're trusting God, really? It's because His supernatural peace comes over you. Supernatural peace. You say, well, Alan, I'm struggling with this, that. Well, you need the peace of God. Well, how do I get the peace of God? You just need to trust Him, because remember, we've already been over it. God's God. God's the man. God's God. God's really God. He can do anything. Well, that's settled. He has to prove nothing to me. So I think I can trust Him. How do you trust Him? You just say, God, I want to trust you with this. I don't care if it takes you half a day. You keep praying it and you keep saying it till the peace comes. I've had people say, well, Alan, how long do I need to try to trust Him? I said, till the peace comes. You're not done till the peace comes. I can't tell you. You can get it in 3 minutes. You can get it in 30 seconds. Might take 3 days. Might take 3 years. I don't know. But you keep praying till the peace comes. Because when the peace comes, you're there. You've done her. You got it. Because every spiritual encounter with God has the same end result, which is peace. When somebody comes up here and they'll testify about God, and they just feel good and they're happy, it's the peace of God that you're seeing. Let me tell you what God did. I'm at peace with that. You can say, well, Alan, have you ever noticed there can be people even dying on their deathbeds? And you go in to comfort them, and they comfort you. But they're dying. Newsflash, we're all leaving here. Back to the story. They're dying. Yes, but they have encountered the peace of God. My Bible says that that'll surpass any understanding. It's a mystical, spiritual moment. Let's not pass it to experience the peace of God in any given situation. There is not a situation on the planet that the peace of God cannot come upon. There's not one. How do you know you're in the peace of God? Because it's like you jumped off a cliff and you fell in His arms and it was a soft landing. It's the peace of God. Whatever you're striving with, trust God. Whatever you're fearful of, trust God. When the peace comes, you don't have to think about it no more. She's done. You won't fear it no more. You won't strive with it anymore. Peace is there. What does peace mean? It means it's done. Ever what God's going to do with it, she's done. It's a fearful place to be on the other end of a prayer that somebody has received the peace on. Figure that one out. Hope you caught her. Verses 3 through 8. Paul told of how he learned about them. He also encouraged the Colossians. Look at it in verses 30 through 8. We give thanks to God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. How long, how much did he pray? He prayed always for them, it says. Since we heard of your faith in who? Now, could it be if somebody gives a report on New Life, they say, well, do you know anything about New Life? Well, the only thing I can tell you, they got a lot of faith in Christ Jesus. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul's report on the church at Colossae was what the first thing he heard about was their faith in Christ Jesus. So let it be said of us, don't know about that church except you wouldn't believe their faith they have in Christ Jesus. We get that rumor going, we got her. We got her. Look, it's not happening yet, so we ain't quite got her. We want to get her. Let the rumor begin that the crowd at New Life has faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Well, there you go. The indication, same sentence, same verse, indication is you cannot have love for all the brethren unless you have the fullness of faith in Christ Jesus. You say, well, Alan, how do I know I have full faith in Christ Jesus? You've heard me say it before. Pick out the person in the body of Christ that you dislike the most, and that's how much you love Jesus. That's your fullness. It's hung right there. Why did God give forgiveness? So we could move in the Spirit. You can say, well, Alan, they did it to me on purpose. Well, forgive them on purpose and get on with it. Move. Forgiveness is necessary so you can have a fullness in the completeness of Christ, because you got to understand, if you're going to move in the Spirit, you don't do it by being a spiritual mystic. You move in the Spirit because you're moving on the love of God. It's the love of God. And the enemy is constantly causing us to criticize each other, whatever, whoever. It's a constant. He's offering us these things because he's trying to destroy the love of God and God's people, because the love of God is the surfboard of the Spirit. We move and we breathe on the love of God. That's what he's saying there. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Now understand, there is a hope, and we're going to get into it. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Please remember this as we get to it. There is a hope. Say, there's a hope. There's a hope laid up for you in heaven. Now, we're not going to require God to prove that to us. We're going to, by faith, believe it right now. That there's a hope laid up in heaven. And God, you don't have to prove it because we believe it. So we're going to get on with it. There's a hope laid up for us in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doeth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God. How? Grace of God how? The indicator is the way you get the understanding of the fullness of truth is by and through the grace of God. Can't get it any other way. If you want to get the truth of God so you can bang it over somebody else's head, guess what? It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. The grace of God in truth. Look at verse 8. Who also declared unto us your love in what? Your love in the Spirit. Now, those first 8 verses are so full. And what you've got to understand, those first 8 verses contains keys. It's not just Well, you're not reading the comics here. God deliberately on purpose put symbols and words together so you could read it in a story form, so you could catch the spiritual meaning he's trying to get to you. Here's what Paul's doing. Have you got a pencil or a pen? Can you write something down for me? Write down past and future. Write that down. Past and future. You can write it on one of your observation worksheets or anything. Past and future. Don't write this, but I'm going to give you an explanation. Past and future is linear because we're living in a world. I got my past and I got my future. And I'm living in the present. I got my past to my left, my future to the right, and I'm living in the present. When past and future turn vertical, not linear, but vertical, in the spirit it creates a three-dimensional present. Because my past is shooting right up this, it goes dimensional, it goes from linear to three-dimensional. So my past has a worth, but my see, the future and my past all comes right into the present right here. So my past has an element of truth and it has an element of worth, but I'm living in my future now in the present. Say, Alan, I have no idea what you're saying. And you know what? I don't either. But that's just coming to me. Here's test what I say. Your past and your future, when it goes vertical, creates a three-dimensional present. And that's what Paul's saying. You got to have understanding. You got to have, you know, you understand it. He says it in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. When we get the spiritual understanding, I don't have a past. I've got a past and a future, but I'm going to turn it vertical. I'm giving it all up to God. So your past, when you give it all up to God, that's when all things work together for good, that them that love the Lord. Your past and your futures all thrown into the now moment. Did you get it? I'm trying to find the words. And that's when the all things start working. Now, you got to get the all things working to get it to work. You see, if you live in your past, it's not going to work. If you live in your future, it's not going to work. You got to get your all things going on. I know that sounds confusing, but I'm trying to get you to catch it. I'm not that good a teacher, but I know what I'm seeing. You got to get your past and your future working in your present right now. And that's when all things, you see, when he says all things work together for good, everybody's thinking that's the past. No, that's your future too. Come on. It's your future too. Do you believe when we're all in glory, we're all going to be healed? Well, let's just bring it on into now. God don't care. He's not trying to do it just for the linear now. Jesus says, pray that that's in heaven on the earth. Bring her on. Get this thing vertical. He's going to use your past. You're going to call in your future. And all of a sudden, past, present, future is the now. We're like, oh my gosh, what is this? We start walking in a kingdom glory. And I didn't get there. But I'm going there because I don't have but 3 minutes. It's what he was saying. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Paul said in 1 Colossians that he had a hope stored up there in glory. What's that hope? That hope is the glory. How do you get the glory? How does it come down? It's because your past, present, and future goes vertical, gets three-dimensional. You can't live in one dimension. You can't be so futuristic minded, it ain't got a thing to do with the day. You can live in your past till it controls your now. God says you got to throw it all together and all them things are going to work together for good to them who love the Lord Christ Jesus. You You just bring it right on into now. Here, I need you to have a mic. Somebody run this to him right quickly. Please, sir. There you go. There's a runner.
In the Bible, there's a prophecy, Revelation. Well, it's a future events. The power comes when it's recognized, when everything meets at one point. Because at one point, prophecy will have to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's recognizing the time that Amen. Brings the power of God.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's perfect. So what are we looking? Hang on to that. So what are we looking for? We're looking for this stuff. All of it's true. This whole Bible is true. It's all true. And I've got to quit. But the first step is we got to quit having God prove to us that He's God. We got to say, God, you don't have to prove to us a miracle, but we're going to still pray. We're going to move on, and we're sure there's 100 following us, but we're moving into the next one. Right? We'll give a testimony of what's going on. All that's healthy and good. But God's looking for a people that will keep moving faster than the speed of sound, the speed of sight. Because you're moving on faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're moving on. We're going vertical. Past, future, pull it all into all things. Right here, here's all things. My future is I'm going to be like Him. It's in here. My past is in here too. Somehow or another, God's going to squish all together. It goes dimensional. You make something good out of it. But you can't live in one dimension. Have you got that part? You can't live in your past. You can't live in your future. And you can't live just in your present. You got to go vertical. You squish all them together and you're living in that one. No matter what time zone you're in. Let the world catch up with us instead of us catching up with the world. And there's a power of the glory of God. God says that He's got a hope and glory. It's in Colossians chapter verse 27, if you want to read it right quick with me. Verse 26. I'll get into this next week. Even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages, from generations, but now is made manifested unto His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the what? Of the what? Glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Give me my other screen. There, did I do that? Okay, there you go. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God made this promise to Moses. God said, now, Mo, surely as I live, I'm not going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. But as sure as I live, do you believe God lives? God said, as sure as I live, according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Amen. So you've got a responsibility. You've got a responsibility of that, of a part of the glory. And if you keep living your life horizontally and not vertically, when it's horizontally, you got to live out the past, you got to live out the present, you got to live out the future. It's all in time. Spirit's not time. Spirit goes vertical, it squashes it all together, and you got this picking three-dimensional Christ in you, the hope of glory person, and here it comes. There you have it. Now, the enemy's trying to get us to go past and future and just in the dull present. No, put her all together. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you will...
Don't you worry, that revelation is hitting. We receive it, Lord.
Let us go vertical in our thinking, Lord.
Yes.
Don't let us be normal people. We're not wanting to be just weird people. We want to be godly people.
Yes.
We want to be a people that lets this glory that, dear God, it's your desire that your glory hit this earth, and for some reason you said you're going to do it through your people. I don't know why you did that, God. We might need to talk about that one. But that's what you said you wanted to do. So since you said you wanted to do that, God, if you will show us and teach us, the only thing we want to do, we want to be acceptable to the community. We don't want to be weird. We don't want to be all these things. We want it to be said of us, oh God, that crowd down there has faith in Christ.
Right.
Not in any man. Who's leading it? We don't know. The only thing we know is that crowd down there wants to follow and have faith in Jesus Christ. So, dear God, we submit ourselves to you as a church. If you could see fit to teach us how to handle your glory, we want it, Lord. Let your glory fill this place. Let it fill our hearts. And we thank you for all of those that's brought it up to this time, in this church, in the community. There's been many people, oh God, that's prayed for a day of your glory, of a greater glory, to be in this place. So, Lord, I'm done. Have your way in your people, and we thank you. Amen.